And we'll be looking at this much more next week with Bob Reagan when he comes in, because he'll give a very personal perspective on this. But I didn't want to leave without that. And I want to talk about a man named Mark Yarhouse, who wrote a book. He's a Christian psychologist, and I really appreciate how he frames it. He counsels Christians who have same-sex attraction and orientation. And what he emphasizes with them, he says, listen, I agree, I get it. You didn't choose this. This is not something you chose to have. But he says, I think you do have a choice here, and that is a choice on how are you going to understand it and how are you going to relate to it. And he talks about two main scripts that he identifies. There's probably more, but he says that he emphasizes are available to the Christians who come in and want to counsel with him. And by these scripts, he's saying these are sort of ways that you can understand what you have going on inside you, and they're very different. And the first one, he labels this as the gay script. And here's what he says is the part of that. Same-sex attraction, the fact that you have it, signals something natural, even God-given. Same-sex attractions are the way you really are. These attractions are at the core of who you are as a person. Same-sex behavior is an extension of that core. Self-actualization in such behavior is crucial for your fulfillment. He says that's the script that the gay world is giving to you. And a gay Christian would have a similar script, but they would have some theological terms in there. But definitely the understanding of, this is how God made me, I need to be able to express this. He then goes on and says, let me give you a different script. This is, he calls the traditional Christian script, meaning it's based on this traditional biblical understanding of God's design. Same-sex attraction is but one of many distortions of nature that we all experience as part of life that is not the way it is supposed to be. Same-sex attractions are not the defining element of your identity. You can choose to integrate same-sex attraction into a gay identity. You can choose to follow the gay script if you'd like. Or you can center your identity around other aspects of your experience. The most compelling aspect of personhood for the Christian is one's identity in Christ. And Yarhouse, of course, from his position, would say to them, I would counsel you that this is the script that you should apply as a Christian. We, as church leadership of COC, are saying that we would say that same thing. This is the script that we think is consistent with the biblical revelation of God's design for sexuality. So we aspire to be a community that is affirming and supporting of Christians who make the decision to try to follow this script as an expression of their commitment to following Jesus and pleasing God. That's who we want to affirm. That's who we want to encourage. That's who we want to walk alongside. I don't think it's possible to be a community that can support people in both these scripts at the same time. They are so different that to support one script would not be to support the other script. They are walking in two very different directions, and you can't walk in two different directions at the same time. So our decision is, because of our view of the script, what Scripture reveals is, we are going to say to those people, this is the script you should follow, and we want to do everything we can to encourage you and affirm you in that script. Not only do we say we want to support people with same-sex orientation, but we want to learn from them, and we welcome their contribution to our own growth in discipleship. I spoke earlier, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about how I find that the revisionist perspective oftentimes do not reflect perspectives shaped by Scripture, which is what we aspire to in our discipleship. Christians who adopt Yarhouse's traditional Christian script, I would say, are models of allowing Scripture to shape how they understand and process their experience of same-sex attraction. Because they are doing this, I believe they have a lot to teach all of us about discipleship and following Jesus, especially in the area that you've heard me say again and again and again is our weakest point in discipleship, and that is, what does it mean to take up your cross? I'm going to talk more about this, but I just want to leave you with one passage from a Christian who has same-sex orientation, and this is what he wrote in his book. And as somebody in this situation, meaning he has same-sex attraction, what Jesus calls me to do is exactly what he calls anyone to do. Take another well-known saying of Jesus, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. It is the same for us all, whoever. I am to deny myself, take up the cross, and follow him. Every Christian is called to costly sacrifice. Ever since I have been open about my own experiences of homosexuality, a number of Christians have said something like this: the gospel must be harder for you than it is for me, as though I have more to give up than they do. But the fact is that the gospel demands everything of all of us. If someone thinks the gospel is somehow slotted in their life quite easily without causing any major adjustments to their lifestyle or aspirations, it is likely they have not really started following Jesus at all. And so I read something like that and I say, this is a person who can teach us what it means to follow Jesus. He may be way ahead, and probably is way ahead than many of us are in that area. Also, I would then suspect that he's way ahead in finding the blessings of finding life through the path of sacrifice and denial that Jesus then promises. He who gives up his life will find it. He has so much to teach us about that. So next week, we will hear from Bob Reagan, who is a man exactly like this, who's going to bring sort of a teaching slash testimony. I think he said he's also going to bring a woman colleague of his so that she can have a testimony so we can get some balance there. What I'm hoping he will give us and what I want you to listen for is how has he grown and discovered more about Jesus because he is walking according to that second script in this part of his life, but also how is it that the church community helped him? What can we learn from how the church community helped him to be that kind of church? And also, how did it not help him? What are some of the things he's encountered within the church that he found hard and actually were stumbling blocks for him and actually were not helpful to him? Because what we want to learn from him is not just what he's learned about following Jesus, but also what does it mean to be a church that is the best church for people in his situation? Because that's what we want to be. 2 weeks from now, I will take up this whole idea of looking at how we now live this out. How do we, not just if you're a Christian with same-sex attraction, but all of us, how do you have this perspective that you think has been given by Scripture, and how in the world do you live that out in a loving, gracious, honest way in this culture? Extremely challenging. I appreciate all the prayers you've been giving us for this series. Really pray for that one, because I don't have the answers for that, and I'm going to be spending a lot of time thinking about that the next couple of weeks. So I'm going to bring us to a close this morning. It's been a lot of material. Appreciate your listening. I do want to call up the worship team, because I do want to, as John opened the service, he said, you know, as we're talking about these issues, wrestling with these issues, we want to remember that, why are we doing this? We are doing this because we're trying to please the Lord. We're trying to do things the way he wants them. We're trying to recognize you, God, are what we're about, and it's worship that we want to do it ultimately. So we do want to bring this back to worship at the end. If you have anything that you want to use this altar to come up and bring to the Lord, doesn't have to do with anything we've talked about this morning. Nobody out there should assume that it has anything we talked about this morning. If you want to come up and spend that time with the Lord, you're welcome to do that. There will be people who will be willing to pray with you after the song, after we close the service, to help you with whatever burden you've brought. We've spent time wrestling with this issue that is brought before us by our culture, but I want to make sure that people feel like they have the opportunity to commune with the Lord, because that's why we're wrestling with this issue in the first place. So, Lord, we are grateful to you, and say again, like we've said, that we want to worship you. We want to honor you. We want you to be pleased, Lord. Lord, you know how there's a huge clash between what people in our culture would think is pleasing and what they would want and what they would like and what we see in your scripture that is pleasing to you. And we ask that you would help us to navigate that, Lord. And we pray that you would help us to follow you and help us to be accurate about that. And we need your Holy Spirit for that. We need you to reveal Scripture to us about that, Lord. Lord, we hope that you are pleased with what we are doing, what we are trying to do. If you are not, Lord, steer us another direction. And if you are, Lord, I pray especially for those who are struggling, that you would communicate to them that you are pleased with them, that you love them, that what they are struggling to do and what they're trying to do, you take that as honor and worship to you, and you encourage them with that, Lord. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.